Oh, there it is. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on Monday afternoon after I stirred the pot a little bit this afternoon, saying that I'd be surprised if the Packers brought back Brian Bulaga. I didn't think this was controversial. I didn't think it was anything I hadn't said before, but apparently people were a bit surprised at my potential surprise. So I thought I'd chat about it here to lead off our extra cheese chat on Monday afternoon. Hello to everybody joining in the comments. Dylan, Meister, Autopilot, thanks for jumping on. Hope everyone had a good weekend. When it comes to Bulaga, look, I do not doubt for a second that they will engage in talks. I don't think it's a situation where they'll just allow him to walk away without offering a contract or at least talking to the guy and his representatives. But look, he is entering definitely the twilight of his career, certainly the last time that he's going to be available on the open market or potentially hit the open market. It's his one last chance for a big payday. And the Packers have a lot of cap concerns. I don't need me to draw it out for you. I know you all are online looking at these things. But mostly, you know, Kenny Clark has to get paid. David Bakhtiari is coming up soon. There are considerations. And I know he played all 16 games this year, a rarity in his career. And I also know you don't pay a guy for what he's done. You pay a guy for what you project him to do. And even if the Packers think, yep, we can certainly expect Brian Bulaga to play another 16 games in 2020, can you expect him to play another 16 games each year for 2 or 3 years? My hunch is, and it's all it is, it's just a hunch, it's just guesswork. I'm not privy to any negotiations. I'm not privy to any medical info, which nobody is on the outside. My hunch is that Gutekunst will say it's better to get out a year too early rather than a year too late. And he will most likely, like I said, engage in talks and have Russ Ball come up with a package that makes sense for the Packers. But I also think Brian Bulaga, knowing that this is his last chance to make a boatload of money, will want to test the market. And when he does, he is going to find a number of suitors with large amounts of cap space that will blow away anything the Packers can do. Thereby writing the end to his chapter with Green Bay. And that's not, you know, a dig at him. It's not malicious in any way. It's just the reality of the marketplace. I mean, there are teams with $60, $70 million worth of cap space just ready to pounce on a starting right tackle. And the Packers, like I said, now letting a guy walk, drawing a line in the sand, that's all well and good. I understand it. That's the business. Where the Packers have been spotty in recent years is having a ready replacement. And that is certainly it's more than in fair play to question whether the Packers are able to fill the void. Because Lord knows they didn't when they allowed TJ Lang to walk. Lord knows they didn't when they allowed Charles Woodson to walk. If you allow a guy to walk, you don't want to pay him, then you have to have a ready replacement. Now, I think they have one in Jared Valdir, but we don't even know if he plans to play in 2020. So outside of that, do they kick out Billy Turner? I don't love that option, but maybe that's the way they go. There are a lot of things to play out here. My hunch is, though, that yes, they are going to let Brian Bulaga walk for everything I just talked about. What's up, everyone in the comments? Thanks for jumping in. Jitsu, thanks for the super chat. Jones, second contract, bigger chance of regret by letting him walk or buyer's remorse? That's a tough one. And that is one I am certainly happy. That's a call I am certainly happy I don't have to make. There's no doubt the offense running through Aaron Jones is a whole nother beast. It's on another level. It's exponentially better. I also know that I can't remember the last time an NFL team paid a running back and didn't regret it. Those instances are few and far between. I think a lot of that will depend on Aaron Jones, you know, what kind of deal he wants to take. Certainly, I think he could walk into a starting position elsewhere in the NFL and make a boatload of money doing so. I highly doubt he holds out entering the last year of his deal, but you never know. We'll see how that develops. But like I said, I'm really glad I'm not Gutekunst on that one because you know, your head tells you it's probably best to hold the line, not pay the guy unless he's willing to take a hometown discount. Your heart says your offense is really, I'm not going to say nothing without him, but it's a shell of what it can be without him. So that's a real tough one. Does King Kivo get another deal in Green Bay? Matt alluding to Kevin King. I think so. I think that's a case of a guy who has missed a lot of time, finally played 16 games last year, entering the last year of his deal. If he puts it together, I could see the Packers approaching him midway through the season and offering him a deal, much like they did with Corey Linsley, much like they did with Devontae Adams, even David Bakhtiari, getting them in the fold prior to the player hitting the free agent market, probably for a little bit less than they would have made in the open field. But again, takes two to tango. But yes, I think they'll get Kevin King locked up. How many running backs do they draft? Probably one, Matt. I think they'll draft at least one. And I know they drafted Dexter Williams last year, but I would be surprised if they came out of this draft without a running back. Now, I'm not necessarily saying which round. I have no idea. But I do think they'll draft one at some point in late April. Josh Jackson's future, Christopher, I think it's up in the air. We'll see what kind of activity is, you know, happens around the cornerback position, both in free agency and the draft, but can't be feeling too good about a guy who is drafted with, let's say, a premium pick. You know, if you're talking, it's a day two pick, and a guy who just cannot get on the field and has certainly been surpassed by Chandon Sullivan, at least, if not other guys. I wouldn't be surprised if he was subject to trade talks. And I'm not saying, not reporting anything. Obviously, I haven't heard anything, but it would make sense if there was a kind of a change of scenery deal, which we see a lot more these days in the NFL. Maybe the Packers try and move him in that regard, but we'll see. You know, I know Gutekunst did speak highly of him, although you're never going to hear Gutekunst talk badly about his guys publicly. But that is the case. So I would not be surprised if they attempted to move on, at least. Any truth to the Packers looking into Le'Veon Bell? No truth. Zero truth. 100 billion percent no truth. Where are you at on Patrick Queen? I love him as a prospect. I'll be surprised if he's available at 30. I love how violent he is. He would definitely bring something to the Packers defense that it has sorely lacked for years. As far as his physicality, his attitude, his aggressiveness, his ability as a tackler. Again, I'll be surprised if he's available at 30, and I don't see them trading up with the limited resources they have with draft capital and the needs they have at many positions. Let's see. Next. What's up, Teddy? I project Donald Driver is better than half our wide receivers. Bring DD back. Okay, let's come back from la-la land, people. Gary to inside linebacker? What the fuck? The offseason is a hell of a drug. Yeah, man, there's a lot of time between, you know, the end of the season and the combine to the draft. You got to fill it with something. So things like Rashawn Gary being moved to inside linebacker get thrown around. Hey, it's better than last year when we were talking about moving Rashawn Gary to wide receiver. I'm kidding, kind of. I know everyone disagrees, but I think they should sign Cobb. Gary, I don't think everyone disagrees. I've seen quite a bit of sentiment for the re-signing of Randall Cobb, and I'm not downright against it. I especially would love to have him back if it's a team-friendly deal. I don't know how realistic that is. And again, and this is what I've spoken about here on Extra Cheese, I don't know how amiable the current administration would be, having made it pretty clear they wanted to make a clean break from quote-unquote McCarthy's Packers, and they moved on in that regard. I'm not going to say it's impossible that they welcome Randall Cobb back, but I do think they wanted to move on. They wanted fresh blood, and I think they'll do that in a draft where the wide receiving group is bigger and deeper than it has been in over a decade. Now, if they come out of the draft still needing a wide receiver and Randall Cobb is still available, then maybe they make that call. But I would be very surprised if they brought him in prior to the draft. And I do think some other team, probably the Cowboys, will sign him prior to that happening. Aaron, as for not paying players for what they've done, you also don't draft players for what they've done, but rather for what they project to do and will do in the NFL. I think a lot of fans forget it. Hey, man, I literally have a video on this channel from last year's draft watch party with me and Banky, and I clipped it for that very sentiment. Go watch it if you haven't already. Anybody here? In fact, you know what? I always forget. I'm here. I'm live. I can just show you guys. I'm not going to show it to you, but I'll give you the link from last year's draft, talking about that very concept that you do not draft for their production in college. You don't draft for what they did against the future gym teachers of America. You draft them. There it is. You draft them for what you're projecting them to do. So I'm going to shoot you guys that link. You can watch that after we're done here. Reese, did you watch Gary's workout video? What did you think of it? I did watch it. I thought he looked great, nice and fast. But look, here's my thought, my overarching thoughts on workout videos in general in the offseason. They're great. They get fans pumped. We're all excited to watch, you know, a Packers player working out. That's what we want them to be doing in the offseason, right? When they post stuff like, oh, we're going to the movies or we're going bowling or whatever, it's like, why aren't you studying your playbook? And I know not all fans are like that, but we do get some vocal minority types. Player workout videos are great, but everybody's working out. Some just choose to let you in on it sometimes. And I'm not saying that it's all calculated, but some of it is. A lot of it is. And that's fine. It's great. Just know that everybody's working out. Some more than others. You know, the degrees are different. Everybody's working out. It's great that we got a little peek into it. Everybody's working out. Not everybody's posting videos about it. It's great. I'm happy you're working out. But I'm much more interested in watching your development on the field when it matters than workout videos in the offseason. That's just me. I'm a cynical bastard, I know. But that's where I fall on every workout video, not just for Sean Gary's. Any offseason workout videos, great. I'm really happy you're working out. Austin, thank you for the super chat. As an ISU Cyclone fan, I really hope Lazard gets re-signed. And if Patrick Queen doesn't fall to 30, getting Marcel Spears would be awesome. I don't know too much about Spears, but speaking of the draft and falling to 30 and draft conversation, I'll be having Jordan Reed on my podcast tonight, Nagler's Never Right, exclusively on Patreon. If you're interested in supporting us and getting access to all of our content, but exclusive access to my podcast, please consider giving us $5 a month on Patreon, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. Patrons get to ask questions. I always put up a post soliciting questions for the guests. I've got a ton of really good ones already, but it's not too late to get in on that if you'd like. But as for your initial idea, the Lazard thing, I don't think he's unrestricted. I think he's restricted. So I don't think there's any real fear that he's not going to be back with the team in 2020. So you're bailing on Gary now? You were one of his biggest cheerleaders this past season. Where did I... Oh, God. You guys really need to learn to listen and read and comprehend. Did I call Gary a bust? Did I say it's over? Did I say he sucks? No! I said I'm interested in watching his development. Oh, you guys. The internet. Oh, the internet. Do you think Crosby is going to test the market, or do we get him signed before free agency opens? My guess is they get him signed before the market opens, but I think it's going to come right down to the wire. I think there's going to be a lot of digital ink spilled about will they or won't they. Be a lot of consternation on Packers Twitter. But ultimately, I think they get a deal done. Don't hold me to it because it's just a guess, but that is my guess right now. Oh, look at someone putting in personal information. You're so cute. Oh. Special teams should be high on the Packers list. A shorter field would help. Yeah, I mean, the emphasis is always there when you're talking, right? When coaches are up at the podium. Oh, boy. Sorry, guys. You know, every coach preaches about the importance of special teams. And I do think LaFleur did a pretty good job of placing a bit more emphasis on special teams than Mike McCarthy ever did. That's not a high bar. But I also think, to LaFleur and Menenga's credit, the special teams got better as the year went on. There's no question about that. Now, obviously, J.K. Scott kind of fell off as the year went on. his performance was a bit up and down. You do wonder how much of his poor punting in the championship game is due to his sickness, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think it was trending in the right direction. I agree that you want to focus and be better on special teams, improve on special teams. There's no question about that. But it's never going to be the focal point. Afternoon, Nags. How goes it? Uncultured? It's great. It's great. Just chatting with folks on the internet. Always an adventure and always a good time. Crosby, I'd imagine, is a priority free agent number one. He's up there, no doubt about it. He and Bulaga are obviously the priorities, but as we were talking about earlier, I do think it's going to take more than the Packers got to get Bulaga signed, which kind of by default means that Crosby's your number one. Is Irvin a UFA, and do you think he tests the market if he is? He is a UFA, but I think they get him done. I think he'll be back. If you have to pick just one, Crosby or Bulaga? Crosby. Is Jenkins locked in at guard, or could they end up at center, tackle, et cetera, et cetera? Well, he's played all five. They ran him at center a little bit in camp last year. He played center his last year in college, and he has played tackle. I suspect they'll keep him at guard for now. We'll see what the plan is if and when the roster shakes out, so to speak. But, yeah, we'll see. I do think he could be an all-pro guard, and you don't want to mess that up. Do you think we would have to trade up to draft Murray? No, not necessarily. I mean, could they? Sure, if they determine that's where the value is and they love him. I'll be surprised if they trade up in the first round. I do think there's a decent chance that he falls to 30, but we'll see. Stanley, thanks for the super chat. Josh Jackson and Montrevious Adams for Njoku. That's a possibility. I doubt it happens, but you never know. That's one of those change of scenery deals we were talking about before. Tend to think it'll probably take a little bit more. But, you know, with a new GM in place in Cleveland, maybe. Yeah, saw them cut four guys this morning, creating about $13 million worth of cap space. You know, the reboot is on again in Cleveland. Aaron, who would be your number one free agent priority not on the team? Woo, I don't really have one. I'm much more in the camp of let the silly money get paid out early on and then pick through the second and third wave of free agency. I don't think there's anybody in initial kind of quote big name free agent wise that I would go after at all. You know, I very much would want to see the free agent field kind of sift out first and then see how it falls. I just realized that dude trying to post my address earlier was like, has the wrong address, but I know where that address is. That's funny. Do they draft a QB this year? My hunch is yes. I think so. Now, where is that? Could it be second round? Could it be seventh round? I'm not sure, but I do think they'll address the position at some point. Now, things fall in the way they do in the draft. You know, wide receiver is something I think clearly needs to be a priority. It's a deep position. Running back, we've talked about. Offensive tackle is something they'll probably look at. Now, where those fall, I don't know. You know, it's so difficult to say as far as what we perceive as needs compared to what they're talking about inside the building is often very different. But I'll be surprised if they come out without a quarterback. That guy's an absolute loser. Yes. Yes, he is. Who goes to guard if Turner kicks out? Probably Patrick. They just re-signed him. I thought he played pretty damn well in place of Corey Linsley when Corey had to go out. You know, he's not a foolproof option. I don't think he's proved that he's arrived or anything, but you did like what you saw there, and I think he would be the most logical guy to be first up if they decided to kick Turner out to right tackle. I don't trust Patton. I know I'm just a guy typing to a guy on YouTube, but I don't think our best 11 was on the field on that side of the ball. I do wonder about the rotation sometimes, especially along the defensive line. The fact that Kiki couldn't get on the field, the fact that, you know, Goodson was there over Burks the entirety of the season for the most part. You get it from a you want a thumper on the field standpoint, but you don't get it from a sideline to sideline standpoint. So I hear what you're saying, especially when you look at the number of times he had a third safety in there instead of a second linebacker. All those things I understand questioning. All of that said, Mike's forgotten more about defensive football than you and I will ever know. So, it does not mean he's infallible. But at some point, I just have to kind of let that go and say, all right, this guy knows what he's doing for the most part. And I hope the defense continues to evolve and improve, which is all you can really ask for. They certainly improved last year from where they were the year before. Of course, it took a huge injection of talent and draft and free agent capital to make that happen. So that's not going to be available this year. Now, I don't doubt for a second that they will add pieces, but, you know, it can't be this huge influx every single offseason to find some improvement. They've got to continue to improve, and a large part of that is down to the coaching. So I hope, like I said, we hope to see that continue. Oh, buddy. Look at you looking for attention. You're so cute. You're so cute. Tackle the guy with the football. What more to defend do I need to know? I'm not sure how that really works. Let's see. Where do these trolls come from? Miami. Why are these idiots trying to harass you? It's not idiots, plural. It's one idiot in Miami who's upset that I don't kiss Aaron Rodgers' ass. That's how pathetic he is. He deifies Aaron Rodgers. And because I dare to point out when Rodgers has a poor play, that, I'm worthy of scorn and being trolled, which is fine. I can take it. I've had a lot worse than that. But that's how pathetic it is. Because a guy he doesn't know gets criticized on the internet. He attacks me. Harasses me, talks about my personal shit and my family. Those are the limits of his life. Don't know if someone asked earlier, but if we were to draft a QB this year, who do you like best? Austin, I'm going to ask Jordan Reed about that tonight on the podcast. Make sure you listen in. I don't really have a preference. Thank you for the super chat. I haven't watched a ton of college quarterbacks yet. I most certainly will once I get to the combine and then leading up to the draft, but you know, I know the big names, but I don't think the Packers are going to get any of the big names. So we'll see. Aaron, can you speak to the fact that Pettine and the others have seen every single practice rep from these players? You've got to think they are they moved too fast. Others have seen every single practice. You've got to think they are putting the best 11 on the field, yes? You would hope, but, you know, practice is never full speed. They don't take guys to the ground. There's no tackling. You know where that happens? On a football field during regular season games. That is available for everybody to see. And it's great that if you're doing it in practice, there's something to be said for that, obviously. But if you're not producing in a game when things matter, when things are live, to me, that should trump the stuff that's happening in practice. Yes, you want guys to practice well and you want them to be good players in practice. But ultimately, they can practice great, you know, 6 days a week, but on day seven, when it matters, when they got to make that tackle or shed that block, if they're not doing so in a live situation, what good does all those practice reps do you? You know, I can look at Kingsley Keke, and see him producing in his limited reps and want him to be on the field more over a guy like Tyler Lancaster, who, bless him, is certainly outplaying his undrafted stock, but to my eye, is not playing nearly as well as Kiki is when they're given the same kind of opportunities. Again, just a layman's opinion, just a dude on the internet. That's just me. What makes you believe Murray will be there at 30? Well, I'm not saying he'll definitely be there at 30. Oh, thank you for the super chat, by the way. I think there's a chance he could fall. You look at, I don't think he's as probably as great in the wash, so to speak, when he gets up, you know, when interior linemen get up on him. I think he struggles sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes with some of those power guys. It's all in the eye of the beholder, really. And I think there's a chance that the NFL could say this is not a three down guy. Now, I don't think that, but there's a chance. Again, not saying this is, you know, it's absolutely going to happen, but I think there's definitely a chance. No question about it. Who will sign Antonio Brown? No one. Not a single soul. All right. I'm going to jump. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for chatting. Thanks for 242 of you joining us here in the afternoon, in the offseason. Always something to talk about with the Green Bay Packers. Can't thank you guys enough. Like I said, Jordan Reed on the podcast tonight. If you want to jump in, please consider giving us $5 a month on Patreon, patreon.com/cheeseheadTV. What else? Hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good night.